Our text today is 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to be reading verses 10 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's begin reading in verse 10. The Bible says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace." In verses 6 through 9, Paul talks to people who are not married. He talks to unmarried people and to widows, and he gives them his advice. But beginning in verse 10 and going through verse 15, Paul addresses a different question. Now remember, in chapter 7, Paul is answering questions that these Corinthian Christians had written to him. He says, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me." So they had written to him asking him questions about different aspects of marriage. So in verses 10 through 15, Paul answers different questions about the subject of divorce. These people in the first century had a lot of questions. There were a lot of issues about divorce. There were different circumstances. There were different situations. And so they present some of these questions to Paul. We today have different questions and different situations that arise pertaining to divorce. And the question among Bible-believing and God-fearing people is always, what does the Bible say about this situation? So let's look at what Paul says here and learn as much as we possibly can. In verse 10, he says, "And unto the married I command." Now he's talking to married people in the church. "Yet not I," he says, "but the Lord." Now when he says it's not I who is speaking here, but the Lord, he doesn't mean that he disagrees with the Lord. What he means when he says not I, but the Lord, is that it's not just him, Paul, that is, who is saying this. It is the Lord. And it's not so much Paul specifically that is saying this, but the Lord who had already said this. Apparently, what he's referring to here is Matthew 19, verse 6. Because there is where Jesus said, "What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder or separate." And he was talking to those Jews about the question that they had raised about divorce. So the subject is the same in Matthew 19 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. The question is the same. It's about divorce. And even the wording is the same. Jesus said, "What God has joined together, let not man put asunder." Here, Paul says, "Let not the wife depart from her husband." And he goes on to say in verse 11, "Let not the husband put away his wife." Now, let's look at these words. Paul says, in answer to your question about divorce, "Let not the wife depart from her husband." The wife is not to depart. She is not to divorce her husband. And the idea of departure here is not just leaving or separating. It is the idea of divorce. And we see that from the context here because in verse 11, he says, "But, and if she does depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away," that is, divorce his wife. So he's saying the same thing to the wife and to the husband here. And what he says to these Christians is what Jesus said initially, in the beginning, to those Jews, and that is, don't divorce. Now, Paul does not go into the exception here. The exception that Jesus gave, which is Jesus' law of the New Testament, is in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, that is, except it be for fornication. But it's not Paul's purpose to go into every detail of this. Paul is giving the general principle here. He's giving the general rule. And that is, stay away from this and stay together as husband and wife. Why does he say in verse 11, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband? Is Paul giving approval for leaving? Is he saying in verse 10 that the wife is not to depart from her husband? And then in verse 11, is he giving approval or is he giving authority for her leaving? Is he going against what he just said in verse 10? Well, obviously not. Paul is not coming back in verse 11 and contradicting what he just said in verse 10. What he's saying in verse 11 is that if a wife ignores what he's saying and she goes ahead and she leaves her husband anyway, she doesn't need to make it worse by remarrying somebody else, because if she does that after an unscriptural divorce, if she remarries after an unscriptural divorce, she would be committing adultery. And so Paul said in verse 11, if she departs, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Now, here's a parallel in the sense of the kind of construction that we have here. And it's found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Well, John is not saying that it's all right to sin. He's not contradicting himself. He's simply saying that the ideal situation is not to sin. But if you go ahead and do that, remember that we have an advocate with the Father. So in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10 and verse 11, Paul is not giving approval to this divorce. He's not saying that this woman is right in doing this. He's simply saying that she doesn't need to make it worse. So there are two situations here that he describes. Let her either remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Now, when he says, let her remain unmarried, it's obvious that there has been a divorce. Now, it's unscriptural. She has not divorced her husband for fornication. There's been some other reason why she left. And she has gotten a civil divorce. She has gotten a legal divorce, but it was not scriptural. And so, in the sense of the laws of the land, she was unmarried. But in the eyes of God, she was still married, because he goes on to say, or she is to be reconciled to her husband. This man was still her husband in the eyes of God. So she was unmarried in the eyes of the law of the land, but she was married to her husband still in the eyes of God. Why would there be a situation where there would be two possibilities here, either to be unmarried or to be reconciled to her husband? Well, it's simply because there might not be a possibility in some situations of her being reconciled to her husband. Her husband may not take her back. Her husband may not want anything to do with her. And so if that's the case, she is to remain unmarried. So after this, he says, let not the husband put away his wife. So the general teaching then in verses 10 and 11 is to stay away from divorce. Now again, he's not talking about the exception of Matthew 19:9 here, because that's not his purpose. Now, if you ask why doesn't the Bible go ahead and give it here, we could raise the same question about Romans 7 verses 1 through 3, because there Paul said that if a woman is married and she is joined to or married to another man while her husband lives, she is an adulteress. She is committing adultery. But if her husband dies, she is loosed from that law and she could be married to another man. Well, Paul doesn't give the exception there because it's not his purpose to go into all those details. And so it is here in 1 Corinthians 7. Paul is not talking so much here in 1 Corinthians 7 about remarriage. He's not answering the question about what constitutes a scriptural divorce and a scriptural remarriage to somebody else. He's talking about the simple question of divorce, and his direction is, don't do that. And so we need to remember to take all the Bible into account here and not isolate 1 Corinthians 7 or any other passage from the rest of the Bible. Now, in verses 12 through 15 then, he's answering evidently a different question here. And the question that they evidently were raising was this: what if I'm a Christian and I'm married to a non-Christian. What about that situation? What about divorce and leaving in that kind of circumstance? And Paul's answer is the same. Paul says the answer is still what I just said, and that is, don't do it. Because in verse 12 he says, "But to the rest speak I, not the Lord." Now, he's not saying, again, that what he's about to speak to these people is uninspired, that it's just some kind of human opinion. When he says, "I'm speaking, not the Lord," what he means is the Lord did not specifically address this situation. The Lord did address it in Matthew 19, verse 6, but he did not specifically say anything about a Christian being married to a non-Christian. The church hadn't even been established at that point. So Paul says, I am stating very explicitly here what the Lord was talking about in general in Matthew 19, verse 6. And it's this: if a brother, there's the Christian, there's a man who's a Christian, and he has a wife that does not believe. Here is a Christian man married to a non-Christian woman. What about that situation, these people ask? Paul says, if she's pleased to dwell with him, then let him not put her away. He's not to divorce her. And the same thing is true in verse 13. The woman that is a Christian, that is married to a man that is not a Christian, is not to leave him. Why? Because they're married. You see, you don't have to have two people who are Christians in order to have a marriage. Marriage was around a long time before the church was established. And so marriage is not, as many people say, a church ordinance. And by that I mean that it's just for people in the church. No, marriage is a social institution that God gave to mankind. And what this means then is that if you have a non-Christian who is married to a non-Christian, they are married in the sight of God. If God has joined them, they are married. If you have a Christian who is married to a non-Christian, they are married, and they are under the law of God. They are bound together by God's law. You see, there was a similar question or a similar situation in the book of 1 Peter, because in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, the Bible talks about Christian women who are married to non-Christian men. And Peter says that regardless of whether that man is a Christian or not, you Christian women are to be in subjection to him as the head of the house. This means then that at the church at Corinth and in other congregations in the New Testament, there were some Christians who were married to non-Christians. Now, what was their state? What was their condition? Were they married or not? And what was their spiritual condition being married to a non-Christian? Did Paul or Peter or any other New Testament writer tell these Christians who were married to non-Christians to get out of that marriage? Did he say that they were living in sin because they were married to non-Christians? Obviously not. This passage then shows that it was not inherently sinful for a Christian to be married to a non-Christian. As a matter of fact, Paul talks about the influence of the Christian on the non-Christian mate in verse 14, and that, of course, is the hope and the goal of any Christian who is in that situation. There are some things that are not good judgment, but at the same time, they are not in and of themselves sinful. So Paul's answer to their questions about the subject of divorce can be summarized in one word, and that is, don't.